Ancast is brought to you by Right Stuff. Check out some great deals on anime, manga, figures, and more at rightstuff.com. Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. I think you will. Hey everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Burchie. We're back with a live show, although with a slightly different cast of characters than we normally have here. At least one. Hope is out on an appointment, so today we are taping a live show with your friend of mine. He's on every single one of these. Why do I have to keep introducing him? It's Brady Hart. Old Brady, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Also joining us, maybe for the second time ever?
It's the second time, yeah. Okay.
It's the editor of the Interest feed on ANN, and you can actually read her entries in the preview guide right now, in the fall preview guide. It's Lindsay Loveridge, also recently married, so congratulations, Lindsay.
Thank you. Yeah, I think last time I was on the show, I think it was 3 years ago.
It was AX, right?
Your live AX show.
Yeah. Whew. A lifetime ago.
I had a funny hat then. Today, I don't have a funny hat.
Well, you're inside.
You could also lie. You could say, I'm wearing three hats.
Yeah, you're right. This is an oral medium.
You're right. Okay. Yep. Three hats.
I'm juggling 16 oranges.
I am wearing a stack of 16 sombreros right now.
And one serape?
Yeah. There's a song in there somewhere. Okay, so like I said, this is a live show. We'll take some Twitter questions, and most of this will be questions from the chat. But first, let's go around the table here. It's been a little while, so Brady, you've been busy, right?
As usual. Yeah, no, I've not done anything at all ever. No. I've been super, super busy working on lots of anime stuff. We just wrapped IGPX with tons of stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on a prototype for a game called Indivisible. It's a RPG action game from a company called Lab Zero Games. I'm the UI designer, etc. We're doing a fundraiser, Indiegogo, for it, if you want to check it out. If you like games like Valkyrie Profile or Symphony of the Night, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, or Chrono Trigger, that kind of RPG kind of game, check it out. We're trying to fund it at support-indivisible.com. That's what I've been working on. There is a free demo prototype. You can play it and see it if you like it. It's about a half hour of game, and it's all hand-drawn animation by the people who made Skullgirls, and which I'm one of, and we're hoping it gets funded. It would mean a really good job for me, so hopefully.
Yeah, but full disclosure, you are basically pimping this.
Yes, I am totally presuming you. 100% full disclosure, yes.
Yeah.
But it is cool, too. So,
you know, I played the demo. Like, you know, okay, full disclosure, I have, like, at least two friends that work on this game. Liked it a lot. I thought it was
honest with us.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it. And my favorite game of all time is Symphony of the Night. Like, ever. It's a good game. The combat system, I have my issues with the blocking, but apparently a lot of people do, so maybe you'll fix that.
Yeah, I know. They're talking about tweaking it, so...
It's a cool game, though. Like, it looks good. The characters all look like Power Stone characters from, like, 1999.
I haven't thought about that game in a long time.
Yeah, totally.
We don't have a Wang Tang, though, yet.
You don't have a what?
The one guy's name was Wang Tang.
You see, this is granular Power Stone knowledge that I could not ever hope to have. Like, I don't remember the characters' names. I just remember what they looked like.
He was the Goku guy.
The thing is, like, that's such a distinctive illustration style that when you say it out loud, oh, it looks like Power Stone, you think immediately, like, chunky, blocky character designs that look kind of like a mix between, what's that, who's the Steam Detectives guy?
Yeah, Asamiya?
Kiya Asamiya and maybe, like, a Detective Conan type thing. I don't know, but it's like very specifically late 90s, early 2000s, I think.
Wasn't there a cartoon as well? I don't know if it was American.
Yes, there was an anime that ADV put out back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They tried to put it on TV, but I don't think it ever went. But yeah, no.
Yeah. And, so, Lindsay, you work on Interest Feed.
Yes.
And this is actually your first preview guide.
Yes.
You've never done it before.
I'm exhausted.
Right.
I'm exhausted. This is my first preview guide. Other than sequels I haven't seen, I think I've turned something in for all the shows. I also write the list. I've been writing that for 3 years now, so I have a column on the site as well. And I also manage the Interest Feed, which I guess differentiating it from news, it's mostly like weird, wacky stuff or merchandise stuff to look forward to buy. Or just sort of trending topics in Japan that might not necessarily have anime connections. Like, we write up a lot of robots. We wrote up the giant robot Kickstarter that just got funded, the Japan versus U.S. thing. Yeah, so I have my hands in a lot of pies, I guess. And now I'm doing this today, so.
Yeah, well, you're doing it for the last week.
Yeah.
So, like, this is your first time doing it. Do you think I was exaggerating when I told you how much work it was?
No.
Okay.
But maybe, I don't think it is a lot of work, and I don't feel like I've been struggling too much to keep up personally.
Right.
Maybe that's because I haven't seen a lot of the sequels that are airing, so my workload isn't as heavy as some people on the team.
Yeah, it's a good. This was a good season for you to sort of get your feet wet. It hasn't been that tough. This has actually been easier than usual. Saturday was kind of a nightmare, but after that it was pretty okay.
Yeah, and I mean, other than light novel adaptation 1, 2, 3, most of the shows haven't been horrible. I haven't had to sit through any like really nauseating. No, the light novels are pretty nauseating.
Well, they're not that bad though. Like, they're just boilerplate. Those light novel shows, they're just the same thing over and over again. That's not. Like, there's nothing that's really, really awful and gross.
Yeah.
You know, like, exceptionally bad and gross.
That's true, yeah. We haven't got to see a Shoman Sample yet, though, so maybe we shouldn't.
Or Valkyrie Drive.
I am looking forward to Valkyrie Drive a little bit. I'll admit. I know that it is, like, a blatant Utena ripoff concept with, you know, kind of waxy looking boob girls and stuff. I don't know.
Waxy looking boob girls.
They look all right. You know, that shiny thing. Like,
yeah, where, I
like,
call
some
them.
Characters are like dipped in like a veneer of some sort. And
yeah.
Take it back out.
Yeah.
That's what they all look like.
They look like they're covered in or they're made of latex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's like a quality program.
Well, it's just like that is a very specific character design. It looks inhuman to me, so I don't find it attractive.
Yeah.
I know lots of people
like
do,
add,
but
like all the extra highlights and everything, like overly done highlights and stuff like that.
Yeah, like a lot of big shiny balloon boobs that don't move at all, like boobs, and don't really even look like real boobs. Like they're just these giant either like missile tips.
I feel like you could take them into like a very large kitchen and then like throw them down the linoleum and take bets on who would slide farther. That's what they look like to me.
Yeah, it's this weird kind of blow up doll fantasy. It's weird. Whatever, people like it. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying it.
Expect it to be very stupid. I expect it to be stupid and dumb and hilarious. That's why I'm like, I can still get humor out of those. To some, you have to like take one stance or another. Like, you can either be disgusted all the time or just laugh at it. So
yeah,
with some of them, I just choose to just laugh at it, and I'll watch it for that reason.
Yeah, over the years, I have learned that it is way more important to just laugh and not let this stuff get you down, or like don't be disgusted, because it's not really worth it.
Yeah.
It's not really worth it. Like, at some point, you see enough of this stuff where it really just shouldn't shock you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, this is another one of these, you know. I don't know, I feel like I've learned over time to just stop taking such offense to stuff, unless it's like particularly out there, like Cross Age. Like, Cross Age is way out there. That deserves.
I never watched it. Yeah. I read the preview guide for that season, and I was like, welp, and I just didn't bother with it.
Yeah, I think that deserved the criticism it got. I stand by that. But a lot of the other stuff, like sometimes I go back and read some of my older stuff and I'm like, man, I'm being so hard on this fan service thing. And why was I like specifically picking on this? Like, I do. I look back at that stuff and I wonder, like, well, I guess I just hadn't quite learned yet that you should pick your battles on that stuff. Mm-hmm. And understand that if you're going to be swimming in this stuff all the time, you kind of have to accept it a lot of time just for what it is. And it might not ring your bell or anything. But if it's just another boilerplate harem magical high school thing, I mean, I'll make jokes about it on Twitter, but my mm-hmm. review will just say, well, here's another one of these. Another right. one of these. Yeah. Like I reviewed.
I think that says it all, though, right? It's right. another one of these things.
Yeah. Well, I reviewed that Chivalry of a
Failed Knight.
Failed Knight thing, which I watched immediately after Asterix War.
Right.
And that angered me. That was like, okay, are the people who make these shows, like, aware that they're making right. the exact same show at the exact right. same time, airing on the same day?
That's what my review, so I think, like, the third or something sentences in it was, did the production companies, like, call each other at all? And, like, you know, maybe one of them could have thought to say, like, hey, can you, like, put this off until winter so we're not airing at the same time? And people might have forgotten a little bit about my show by then so they don't hate yours. And
I don't know. But I wish there was a thing where, like, all of the anime studios agreed, okay, we have this box. Someone's going to pull – it's a box full of black rocks. Whoever pulls out the red rock, that person and him alone – gets to use the guy falls on boobs thing. This person and him alone gets to set his anime in a magic high school. Like, only one. And then it can't be in every show.
can I trade my boob falling for your magical high school?
Yeah.
Right. I think barter the stone.
Yeah,
afterwards.
Really. I will take Tsundere with a tragic past in magic high school, and I'm going to give you... dead parents and little sister who wants to bone him. Is that a cool trade? Can we? Yeah, I don't know. I just that kind of killed me. That was like, okay, guys, fucking enough. And I understand they're just adapting light novels, and that apparently there's a bustling industry of trashy ass otaku light novels that all have similar premises, and they're just sort of animating all of them just in case one of them hits.
I like mm-hmm. to use the word bustling.
In regards to this particular genre, it is not an inappropriate word. No. So, I mean, what's the best thing you've seen?
You mean this season, right?
Yeah, like this. Yeah, we'll just talk about fall season for now, which is a quiet season. Like, this season's pretty low key.
Yeah. So, I think my top couple that I'm definitely going to watch. I'm gonna check out. Perfect Insider. I wasn't like, it wasn't my like five of this season, but out of the two mystery series, it was the most promising, I guess. I'm really, really annoyed that we haven't gotten a good mystery show. There's so much like Western television just eats that crap up, and I don't know why we can't get some sort of like pseudo interesting anime equivalent. It's like you've got a whole bunch of Western television you could watch to pull from, but we keep getting stuff like Ranpo Katan with weird cross-dressing guy, and I'm just gonna tell you the answers.
Sounds great.
It frustrates me a lot because it's one of my favorite genres and it's not being fulfilled in any way, shape, or form. But best is Topless Gundams and probably Haikyuu Season 2. Those are two that I got the most enjoyment out of, and of course One Punch Man.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
One Punch Man is very special.
It's one where I watched it. I'm like, all right, so I'm going to rewatch this later today with my husband, because I know that. And he hasn't read the first volume of the manga like I have, but he laughed through the whole thing. That was hilarious, all of it. So, yeah, we'll probably. That's a show that I can introduce someone who's like not a giant anime nerd too, and they'll sit through and watch it and enjoy it. I think it's going to work for most people as maybe a new introduction show.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it kind of, depending on how it plays out, I think it'll almost definitely go on Adult Swim. It just seems like a thing. The thing is, I think it's only 12 episodes.
Yeah.
So, really? Like, there's not that much manga. There's more than enough manga to get past 12 episodes. But they're adapting, like, really fast, apparently. Like, the first episode is, like, the entire first however many chapters. It's a lot for one episode.
It's, like, the first half of the first volume, I think, because I know that the android guy that they show at the end is introduced and has at least one chapter or maybe two in the first volume that he's in, and so those weren't adapted yet. Those are going into episode two. So, yeah, they managed to squeeze most of the first volume in there.
Right.
So not a lot of filler.
Have you watched it yet, Brady?
No, I've not yet. No.
Oh, okay. The setup of the manga, anyway, it's based off of originally a webcomic, and then they got the iShield 21 guy to come in and serialize it. But the first volume is sort of one shots. You know, they're kind of like standalone stories with an overarching theme to get you introduced to the main character. He really hates being a superhero. I wouldn't say hate, but he's very apathetic about it because he's too good at it. And so it's just sort of illustrating that point for the first volume and the first episode.
Yeah, Brady, are you planning on checking this out?
Oh yeah. I've been meaning to. I mean, I've read a little bit of the stuff in Jump, so I know a little bit about it. So I've been wanting to watch this. I've heard nothing but good things about it. So.
Yeah, I mean, some of the cuts were. I mean, the guy who directed this directed Space Dandy, and some of the cuts, like, you could tell immediately were that guy. And then it gets even better, like, in the second half. There's some animation stuff in there that's just fucking amazing. Like, I was amazed at how good it looked, and it's just super dynamic, just incredible animation. I was blown away. I loved it. The story was, like, I laughed, like, more than once, which never happened. Like, anime comedies do not typically make me laugh. They don't. Mm-hmm. This was hilarious. So I really liked it a lot. It's really cool. I mean, I knew it's like the number one hyped up thing everyone knew going into this, but no one was expecting it to be that fucking good. Like, no one. I don't think, anyway. So anything other than... So you kind of named a few. Perfect Insider, yeah. I think. Perfect Insider, like, I'm kind of glad that came out because it seems like it's giving people something to latch onto. People seem to really enjoy it. And so far, honestly, this season, I'm not seeing a lot of hits.
Yeah,
like, I'm really not, especially not new stuff. One Punch Man is beyond reproach, but I'm not. Perfect Insider seems like maybe it's going to be the sort of a sleeper hit, and that's more than I could say for a lot of this other stuff.
Yeah, I always mess this up. Noitamina shows they're hit or miss with me. Like, I know, I think you said you didn't really enjoy Terror and Resonance, but like I really, really liked it for what it was. But they've had like their comedy esque ones. Like most anime comedies tend to just be like, eh, to me. I don't know if I have like a specific humor type or something, but even regular comedies, I'm pretty picky about them. With this one, I would give it two more episodes that I came away from it and actually had a higher score when I was writing my review. And then I was like, I feel like I want to like this, but now that I'm trying to write it, I can't figure out why. And so I lowered it. But my primary problem with it right now is that I find all the characters, even the one you're supposed to relate to, the girl Moe, insufferable in different ways. Like the main philosophical lead just like kind of blabbers on in this sort of nihilistic, self-absorbed way about how there's no point to anything other than figuring out why you're here and what you're doing, and being interested in other people makes you stupid. And meanwhile, like, the other girl calls him out on it, but she's always trying to, like, emotionally manipulate him for most of it, because she's got a crush on him, but it's not reciprocated anyway. So, anyway, I found them both rather annoying, but...
The descriptions of it did not make me interested in it at all. I probably won't watch it. I was just saying I was happy that it seems like people like it.
Yeah.
For me, I read the descriptions, and I said, oh, here's another glorified math brain guy who has decided that his emotional responses to things are objectively logical and correct, and everyone else is an idiot running around controlled by their irrational emotions, which is one of the most narcissistic things that I have ever seen, and it is rampant on the internet and kind of rampant with these characters in anime, where it's the beep boop, I'm a computer, and that means I'm calm and collected and the better man about everything and also smarter. And because you're upset that means, you know, you're a dumb, irrational asshole or whatever. And I hate that kind of character. I don't find it endearing. I think it's transparently, like, unbelievably narcissistic and self-serving to decide that your emotional responses are computer-like wisdom and everyone else is a dumb... Like, I hate that shit. So I'm out. I'm not going to watch it.
9 times out of 10, they'll stick him in a group with a bunch of women, too, just to...
And they'll all want to suck his dick. Like, that's always what happens. And even if he's right. a huge... That's what, like, Snafu basically is. You know? That's what that show basically that is.
So what,
these are,
the
these are
the
some hot
called?
Takes. These are some hot takes right here.
It's called The Perfect Insider. Yeah. Yeah, the only thing I'm holding out for is that, you know, majority of the... middle of the episode is him sitting in his like chair at his desk, just is spewing all of this espousing whatever, all this stuff. And that's a regular occurrence with me. So the plot in, according to ANN Encyclopedia though, is that they go to an island and they start finding a bunch of dead bodies. And my hope is that once they get to the island and there's dead bodies everywhere and we're not sitting in a room with him constantly where he gets to just talk about himself, interesting things will happen and he won't, you know. So that's why I'll give it a couple more episodes, but I'm not thrilled. No. Yeah. It's very pretty though. It's very pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed pretty. Yeah, I don't know. Of the other stuff I watched, nothing really stood out to me that much. Gundam. I think I'm going to watch that. I'm actually going to watch that week to week. The show is really, that reminded me of like what I like. I like when Gundam does that. Gives you a self-contained story that you can just get right into. You don't have to know a bunch of names or anything. And like, I know the Universal Century. Like, I'm very familiar with it. But I kind of don't like having to remind myself of a bunch of lore and shit every time I go back into something. So the standalone one's nice, but it's really nicely animated, looks great, story's really interesting, even though it's, you know, it's kind of repetitive from other Gundam stuff, but it's still, it's cool. I like it.
It's more like 8th MS team than, say, like, something you have to know where, like, oh, that's the guy who ran up and picked Armoro's nose in episode 55 of Double Zeta Gundam or something.
Yeah,
like.
Well, it is. I think 8th MS team is absolutely the comparison to make. Like, I really do. A lot of people are comparing it to like Double Zeta, or I think like someone in the chat just compared it to Gundam Double Zero, and I don't know. It reminds me of 8th MS team. That might just be ragtag team of soldiers thing, but who knows? I don't know.
It's technically my first Gundam, I guess. I mean, I caught a couple episodes of Gundam Double Zero back a gazillion million years ago when it aired, and a couple episodes of Gundam Wing when it aired on Toonami when I was a chitlin. But other than that, I have not watched any Gundam. I mean, I know some of the characters from writing for work. Like, I know who Char is from, you know, if you, like, showed me a picture of him. But I don't know left from right in it. But I was able to enjoy it anyway. I did find some of the politicking a little, like, confusing at first. But there's a lot of narratives that set themselves up that way. And it's basically you filter some of it out and it'll come back up later and make sense. So you just don't obsess over it too much.
My thing is with politics, with space politics. If I understand everything, if I understand everything that's happening by the end of your episode, and understand what direction the story is moving, who the factions are, who is who, if I know all of that, like that's clear in my mind. Okay, you win. I will watch more. If I don't, if I'm confused by the end of your episode, and I'm like, wait, who's that guy? What are they doing? Forget it. I'm out. So Gundam, I understood everything. So by the end of the episode, I was like, all right, more of this.
Can you explain, like, the Inquisitor thing to me? That, like, I know that there's, like, those three dudes, and they were talking a little bit about a war over, like, a energy source engine thing.
Okay,
and
well,
I'm
not saying that I know everything. There are some mysteries, but I understand who the characters are and what direction that they're going. I don't know. But moving forward, like, I do know enough. I know enough.
Okay. Okay.
What did you end up thinking of Turn to Gundam, by the way? I know you watched
it. I didn't get through even half of it. I liked what I saw, but I got about 3 episodes into it and said, no way am I going to have time to watch this and write up anything coherent about it. So I sent it to Nick, and he reviewed it, thank God. I have the DVDs. I will watch it at some point. Maybe we'll do a podcast on it. But it was too dense. It was too much. It was like, oh, man, just the plot. I have to sit here and write down notes to make sure I'm remembering everything. Yeah, I don't know. But that's cool. So Gundam's fun. Like, if you kind of get into it just a little bit, just enough to know everything, and if you have one that you like and you go to a Gundam thing, there will be stuff from the one that you like. So it's fun. Like, having a Gundam that you like is fun, because it means you get to be included in that whole ecosystem, and that's a big ecosystem.
Do you think they'll stay topless in space?
Hopefully. That would be awesome. Like, that would be hilarious. So I really want that to happen. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that really stuck out from the season. But like I said, you know, it has been kind of...
Did you watch Haikyuu?
No, I don't watch Haikyuu, so...
You don't watch Haikyuu?
I did not watch that. Oh, that Dance with Devils thing was pretty great.
Yes.
I love the idea. I love the idea of just a straight-up Broadway-style musical.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, the last time I remember something even kind of with that happening was when Love Live first premiered. I mean, but you went into it knowing there was going to be music, but, like, we didn't expect her to, like, sing in traffic.
Yeah, instance. Right.
But, no, I was pleasantly surprised with that show for multiple reasons. One, the musical, and two, it's by Rejet, which is the same company that gave us Diabolic Lovers. So I was expecting a bunch of, you know, like, asshole-ish devil dudes just, like, you know, being jerks to the main lead, and she probably wouldn't talk very much, or she would cry a whole bunch and run around and they'd chase her or something. Basically what Diabolic Lovers is for 15 minutes every week. So when it wasn't that, I was happy.
Yeah, it seems cool. I just love the concept of a musical. I'm not sure I'm going to watch more of it, but that first episode was really neat, and maybe I'll watch more. I'm assuming it's just boilerplate, reverse harem, you know, must be.
Yeah. You know, there's a magic book missing, and they need to find a magic book, and there might be a satanic cult in her school, and there's a devilish student council. I mean, it's, you know, it's not any means deep, but I always go into that genre and traditional harems with, like, very low expectations. I only want, like, certain base things out of it, and it met all of those, so yeah. I consider that a plus for, you know, it being what it is.
And before we get on to the Twitter questions here, Hope is handling your stuff, like, on the editing front, so I'm not reading it before it goes up. But I didn't get a chance to see your review for Concrete Revolutio. So what did you think of that?
I enjoyed Concrete Revolutio. I also read yours, so I know that you didn't like it as much as I did.
I did not.
I enjoyed Concrete Revolutio because the humor in it it's absurd. It amused me enough that I chuckled a few times. And like I said earlier, my cat's here. My requirements for comedy are a little bit high. So if something manages to make me laugh, that's good. So when we had Ridiculous Magical Girl, like, bring in some mannequins as for herself, and then she summoned some cloud with a face on it, and it made me laugh. So even though I find the color palette kind of spastic and that stuff tends to hurt my eyes, I guess I enjoyed all the parody level of it. I guess I found it satirical, sort of. There's this over-the-top subplot about a tokusatsu hero guy who possessed a dude, and then he leaves his body, but then they let him, like, take over this alien to get his powers back, and it's all stupid, but I think it's supposed to be. So... yeah, I found it entertaining and funny. As far as... I don't know. But you didn't like it.
No, I thought it was terrible. Like, you can only have... I'm sorry. If you're going to have all those ideas, they have to fit together in a coherent way. You can't just, like, fart out every idea you've ever had and just say, use all this stuff at once, and who gives a shit if the audience can follow it or has any reason to care about any of it. Like, it was just really sloppy, like, lazy. Here's all of my... Not lazy. There was a lot of passion and ambition behind that. I take that back. I didn't mean to say that. The show is not lazy at all. It's wildly ambitious and passionate about what it's doing. He is given, like, no reason to care about what's happening, and it's impossible, really, to follow what's happening.
Like, I see it, like, it's the tone of it. I find it similar to, did you watch Osumatsu-san?
I didn't. I'm going to go watch it, yeah.
Okay. I kind of saw it just as, like, a similar approach as that. Like, it's got – they end up just throwing in a whole bunch of random references. There's an Attack on Titan reference. Someone transforms into like Sailor Moon Hatsune Miku at one point. Like, it doesn't make sense, but
that's a comedy.
Well, yeah, but I guess I looked at Concrete Revolutio as a comedy.
No, it's taken itself seriously, like, almost the whole time.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was.
Yeah, no, I disagree. That show takes itself pretty seriously. There's jokes in it, but they're taking what's happening seriously.
So you think, like, the cloud power face thing was supposed to be taken seriously?
I think it's just, like, here's all of our ideas. This is a magical girl, and here's what she can do. And she's teaming up with the superhero Batman guy. And here's your powers, and it's weird, like, and crazy, and we're getting wacky with
his
design.
Car transforms into a horse, though. I mean,
yes,
you think they're like,
okay,
hey, it'll be really cool to make the car transform into a horse.
Yes, absolutely, they thought that was cool. What? It's not a parody. Look, I talked to Sho Aikawa about this show at Anime Expo this year.
You have insider knowledge I don't have.
He was very forthcoming. He's like, this show is a statement. This show is about superheroes and terrorism. He was serious.
Okay.
He wasn't like, this is a joke comedy thing. He's like, this is serious. The show's tone is a little goofy.
Yeah.
But I don't think for a second that the show is not taking itself seriously.
Well, see, I didn't read your interview before I watched it. And I don't know if that would have colored my opinion differently. Because for me, it was so outlandish and absurd to have all these things, and like with the color palette, and they're just like thrown at you, and the car transforms into a horse.
Yeah, but that's
I couldn't believe that anyone wouldn't like that, they weren't in on the joke. I assumed that it had to have been a joke, and then it was funny if I thought of it that way, but now I don't know.
I mean, it is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun, but not like, haha, this is so stupid. It's supposed to be like, oh my god, that's awesome. This is fun. I'm having fun. Like, it's very different from like a show that's poking fun at itself or satirizing things, or like,
it's not like Excel Saga is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, this is not satirizing anything. It's not a parody of anything. It is just a bunch of ideas. Anyway.
Man, when you mentioned the title of this, I was like, what is this going to be about? I was like, is it about two construction workers who steal a cement mixing truck and try and take over the world? Like, nope.
Nope.
No, but that's probably like a light novel. I wouldn't put it past him. Okay, so I guess that kind of wraps up the season. Brady, have you been doing anything other than working?
No. I mean, other than I've been watching Angel Beats a little bit again.
Right, yeah. So this episode was supposed to be the Angel Beats episode, but because of Preview Guide and the mountain of other work I've had to do, I haven't had time to watch it. So that episode will be likely in 2 weeks. Next week we're off. So 2 weeks from this episode, we'll have the Angel Beats episode. So look forward to that, I guess. Anyway, let's go ahead and get to our Twitter questions here. We got a few of them. Let's see. Invalid Name asks, do you ever go back and watch just a single great scene from a favorite anime? Which ones? I do this. I have done this. The one that I've done the most with is Third Impact from End of Evangelion. Just the top part of the second half. I love that. It is a masterpiece of surrealism. I love it. I've seen it a lot. I watched it, like, Justin got those Blu-rays, and we were visiting him a couple of days ago, and I was like, okay, you got to put this on, and you got to go to this scene so I can sit here and watch it. But yeah, do either of you do that? Have you ever done that?
For me, I'm trying to think. Not really. I mean, there was a point in my adolescence where I made anime music videos, and so I was watching a lot of, like, and when I was pretty much obsessing over Sailor Moon, I had all these like clips and stuff, and I used to watch those over and over again all the time. It wasn't on TV, so that's pretty much what I did. But nowadays, I mean, even though I have a substantial amount of like DVD, Blu-ray, I'm one of those bad people. I don't revisit shows very much, like at all. I kind of consume it and then go. So, yeah, I haven't done something like that in a really long time.
Brady?
For me, I think probably I revisited that the car chase in Castle Cagliostro a lot. There's just so many tricks and, like, just going through that frame by frame and looking at just, like, how they, like, conveyed motion in that scene And that's sort of mine. Though I think I've recently seen it way too many times for my own good. But that's sort of mine. That scene.
has the inclusion of Theron Martin's name in the review subhead significantly affected page view count? So it took me like a series of like 15 tweets to clarify what this guy was saying. What he was talking about is every now and then on the front page, if you look at the blurb beneath like a review or something, it'll say like, blah, blah, happens to blah, blah in this episode, blah, blah, blah. And then it'll say like the name of the reviewer, like investigates or, you know, looks into it or figures out if it's any good. Yeah. I started doing that just to fill out the blurb text a little bit and maybe get the writers' names out there a little bit more. And it happens at random. It happens when there's space at the end of the blurb and I want to fill it up with a little bit more text. So I'm like, Rose wrote this. So Rhodes Bridges does whatever. This guy, I guess, thought I was using Theron's name more than the others and that I was doing that for traffic reasons, which is not true. That is not true. Theron's a great member of the team. He's a great writer. We're happy to have him on. However, I'm not using his name to boost traffic. His writing performs about the same as everyone else's. So, that is random. That is not... it's not a thing, really. It just happens to happen. You know what? That is actually kind of it for the Twitter questions. Let's go ahead and just get straight to the chat. So, chat, if you have questions for us, for myself, Lindsay, Brady, or all three of us, you can go ahead and send them in now, and we'll get to them as we can. Nats fan asks, speaking of light novel adaptations, what's the best light novel adaptation ever? I really like Spice and Wolf and Bacchano. Which are old.
Bacchano's probably the best.
Bacchano's really good.
This is a question I'd have to, like, go through the A&N encyclopedia because I can't think of one off the top of my head. I haven't seen Spice and Wolf. Don't flog me.
I don't think anyone's going to flog you for
that. Don't flog me for
that. You don't know all.
I'm very dedicated.
Hey, she's never seen Spice and Wolf. Get her.
Does another count? Another is based on a book. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, sure, it counts. Though. Let's say it counts.
Another, because someone gets mowed down by a speedboat. That's why.
Okay, then. All right.
Speedboats in another light novel, and then that's your favorite one.
Event Girls. I can't say your name. He says, I know guilty pleasure is a loaded term, but do you have beloved shows that you're hesitant to recommend? I mean, I have a lot of stuff where it's not because it's a guilty pleasure. It's because I feel like it's like kind of maybe off-puttingly sort of like arty and like kind of weird. And so I'll be like, well, this is really weird. I'm not sure you'll enjoy it, but here, take a look. For anime, maybe not quite as much. I think there are disclaimers I would put in front of stuff like Kill la Kill and maybe like a Hellsing Ultimate.
I had hoped like you'd give somebody a little bit of a warning with Hellsing Ultimate.
Yeah, well, I mean, it ran on Adult Swim at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, you'll love this. It's for the whole family.
Guilty pleasure is like, I know this kind of sucks, but I like it anyway. Yeah, it's always so tough to come up with those off the top of my head, but I think people really bristle at the idea of a guilty pleasure. They really don't like it. Like, if you say this is a guilty pleasure, you will get challenged on the very concept of a guilty pleasure. Mm. It drives me kind of crazy, because, like, I think a healthy amount of, like, self-reflection and self-awareness and, like, oh, I'm watching this thing that maybe isn't of the highest quality... It doesn't mean I can't still love it. It doesn't mean I can't love its death, but I'm willing to accept criticism of it. And, like, that to me is super important, is being able to accept criticism of the thing you like. Otherwise, you turn into kind of a humorless jerk who, like, you know, yells at people for having different opinions. But, I mean, yeah, it's weird how much people get kind of upset about the idea of a guilty pleasure, but I can't think of one right off the top of my head. Either of you, Brady?
I know mine is Needless. Needless is my guilty pleasure. I like it. I don't know why I like it. It's not that amazing, but yeah.
Lindsay?
Yeah, I guess there aren't any shows where I would say, like, I love them, but I did enjoy them, and I actually made... Matt's never going to let me live it down. I recommended Monster Girls to his best man when he was asking for recommendations. He did not enjoy it, and I didn't give him any disclaimers before getting into it.
Oh, geez.
Which is probably a mistake. He wasn't expecting, like, you know, jacking off snakes and stuff. So I learned from that experience. Some other shows that I liked, even though they were dumb, is like High School of the Dead. That show is dumb, but I like the zombie like genre in general tends to be pretty dumb, so I can enjoy it for that. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones.
I think honestly anything with a tremendous amount of sexual content in it is going to get a big warning from me for anyone that I'm for anyone who I'm recommending things to, but I try to tailor my recommendations like based on the person.
Yeah.
Like there are people that I absolutely would recommend High School of the Dead to, and right. I wouldn't need to give those people a disclaimer. Like that's kind of it. Like if I'm going to recommend something to somebody, hopefully I'm right enough about their taste that they don't need to be warned about the content, I guess. That's the ideal, I guess. That's what you
want. Like, oh, I know they like this kind of show, so they'll probably not, you know, this will be all right for them. Yeah.
Like, if you have a friend who really likes exploitation movies, they're going to love High School of the Dead.
Right.
So,
and, like, I didn't have any idea, in this instance, what he likes. Like, I think we were actually sitting at the head table eating dinner at the wedding, and he was like, so what good anime is there right now? And I'm like, I've been watching Monster Girls.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a bad idea. Another one that I could think of that kind of fits what you were saying about being art house. I wish I could get more people to watch The Count of Monte Cristo, but I always feel like I need to put disclaimers on that too because of the like aesthetic to it isn't usually what people think of when they think of anime. And it's got a slightly longer runtime. I think it's more than 26 episodes, so...
Genkutsuo? No, it's not.
It's not?
It's 26 or something like that. We're going to do that for this podcast pretty soon.
Oh, you should let me know when, then.
Yeah.
Because I'll rewatch it again. I watched it a couple years ago, but I would watch it again.
I've never seen the whole thing, so...
Oh!
I'm looking forward to it.
That's the version that has, like, that really cool art style, right? Like,
Yeah, the eye bleed kind of psychedelic, yeah.
Textiles, it's very, like, yeah.
Yeah. That show looks cool, yeah.
It's a cool show. That was Gonzo at the peak of their powers, I think. And their really ridiculous closing theme.
Yeah. It's in English, isn't it?
Yeah, you'll never see me coming. Yeah. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Post-Vandred, but, you know, before they...
Yeah, post-Vandred.
I have a huge box set of that I found. It's like 16 discs or something.
Yeah, that like Genion dumped a lot. Like I think that was back when maybe they were Pioneer. Genion dumped a lot of money into that release. Yeah, ridiculous. Anyway, so let's see here. Do we have another question? Ryland Smith asks, very specific, what is the best mass market movie you have seen in 2014 and 2015? Between 2014 and 2015, and what is the best popular anime you have seen? Oh, this is too specific.
Wow, what?
The best mass market movie you've seen in the last year, and the best popular anime. So, of things that are popular, what is the best thing you have seen in the last year?
Fury Road? As a movie?
Yeah.
I mean that has to be that, right?
That's the obvious one, right? I mean, the Oscar movies aren't out yet, so I couldn't tell you, but... So far, that's the best movie of the year.
I'm glad Brady went first because I didn't think of that immediately, and I was going to say Jurassic Park.
Jurassic World, really?
It was good.
Now, you want to talk about guilty pleasure. Jurassic World.
There's a lot of problems with that movie, but I enjoyed it.
What a dumb fucking movie that I loved every second of.
Did you?
He gets to ride motorcycles with raptors. I mean, come on.
I enjoyed the shit out of that movie, and it's so dumb. It's really such dumb a dumb movie, but I really like it.
Did you enjoy all the callbacks, Zach? Or did they?
There are a few things you can get me with. Mm-hmm. Jurassic Park nostalgia is absolutely one of them. I know that it's just pandering to me and my dumb 35-year-old man-child brain. I get it. I know that, and I'm fine with it.
Because, like, the scenes where they're, like, in the old place, spoilers, like, when they go to, like, the decrepit remains.
Right,
like,
and the jeeps are there, and then...
I'm like, oh, that's where they did this, and I'm like, I know what you're doing to me, because this is simple, this is bullshit, but they got me. They totally got me with that movie.
Yeah, right, exactly. Sometimes you just have to admit, okay, you have me. That's it.
Mad Max was the better of the two movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, come on. That's like Mad Max. Fury Road is the new best action movie I've ever seen. It is, having seen it, you know, several times at this point, of modern action movies, that is easily the best one. I don't know if I could say of all time, but the best modern action movie I've ever seen, for sure.
Have you considered picking up the comic book tie-ins at all?
Like, no, because I hear they're terrible, and I don't want that fleshed out for me. I think that movie's perfect when it comes to storytelling and giving you just enough to know what's happening, and mostly just gives you a bunch of cool stuff to look at. I don't like the fact that there's all these comics that are like the lore, and apparently they're a horrible, like, they're just really badly written. But
that's like when they say they're making a sequel to John Wick, and I'm like, I don't need you to explain the cool stuff from that first movie.
Yeah, I don't want that either. Like, I would take another John Wick movie if it just turns out he's not dead. Yeah. That's fine, but I don't need that backstory. Like, George Miller's now threatening to make a Mad Max movie that explains everything from Fury Road. Like, oh, here's why the steering wheels became to be like religious artifacts, and here's why the war boys do this, and here's why. Like, I don't want to know that stuff. I don't want to know. Like, it's not important at all. That movie is great as it is, so I don't need it fleshed out more. I feel very strongly about this, as you can tell.
I considered purchasing them because that's what my husband came out of the movie. He's like, well, but I want to know about. Da, da, da. I was like, well, maybe there's going to be a book or something. I don't know. And then I saw that there were the comics, but if they're horribly written, I won't bother.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's see here. So anime, I guess best anime,
like populist.
Well, he's saying populist. I mean, so here's the popular anime, like actually popular mainstream anime from the last year. Attack on Titan, Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon, like Naruto. That's what's actually popular. Everything else kind of falls into this sort of, you know, quasi subculture stuff. I would say
like even Kill la Kill is probably down there.
Kill la Kill is down there with, like, it's below Attack on Titan for sure. It didn't really catch on. It came and went. It didn't really make much of an impact. I think when you're talking popular anime, for me, my favorite thing from the last year was Death Parade, by far, if we're not counting Space Dandy, which it's been more than a year since that premiered.
Yeah.
If we're counting Space Dandy, it's Space Dandy. But if not, it's Death Parade. Brady, do you have an answer for that?
No, like, nothing super new. Like, I mean, I've watched about half of Charlotte and some of Rocket, and, like, those shows are not something that's like, oh, I have to go and watch this. Like, I haven't seen anything since probably Space Dandy or Kill la Kill that's really been like, I have to finish this show. So, no, not nothing really.
So, Death Parade was amazing, and I'll just follow that up with the other side of, like, my fandom interest and say Free Eternal Summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unless I'm looking at a list, it's hard for me to really recall, and with that kind of stipulation on it, I you know.
That came out last year, so.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real deep and philosophical.
Yeah, right?
Was Yuri Kuma last year?
That was this year. That was spring, I think.
I mean, I enjoyed that. I've seen about half of that, and I really enjoyed that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I have strong disappointed feelings about that show.
Yeah, it seems like I feel like the general attitude was that was good, like that where your voice goes up at the end and it means you have qualms.
Yeah, it's just I feel like what it was trying to specifically hone in on as far as LGBT relationships, Utena already did better at with, you know, less time on it even, and I was just. Oh, I was just disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody mentioned Maria the Virgin Witch. You want to talk about not popular?
That was good, though.
Yeah.
I did like that.
No, everyone
thank you, person, for reminding me that.
Here's the thing. When I say that show wasn't popular, that was good is not an exception to that. It just means it wasn't popular.
No, it wasn't popular. That's like, too bad.
Literally, like, the lowest sales of the year, I think, for an anime. Like,
oh, jeez.
Like, 300 units, like, I think is what they were talking about. Like, just face planted. Yeah, like, no one bought that shit. And it's a really good show. Like, that show is really good and thoughtful, but it's not for anime fans. I don't know.
Yeah, the philosophy of it was really good. I also really enjoy the characterization, not only of Maria, but of the priest counterpart to her. He was interesting to watch. It's disappointing it didn't sell well.
Yeah, weird title, weird subject, not what anime fans typically expect. They took a gamble.
Yeah.
Our publication's name will be forever apparently misspelled on the back of the Kodansha volumes, where they credit the quote to Anime New Network. It's on the back
it's
of Maria.
The new one.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know it was on. I didn't know it was that manga that was on. I saw your picture of that on Twitter, I think.
Yeah, totally. I like that show a lot, though. It's really good. It has a lot to say and has good things to say, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see here. Do we have another question? Marco Max asks, have you been watching Project Greenlight? I have. Would an anime equivalent work? I don't know. That would be interesting. I would like to see that, but anime production is very different from the way Americans make movies. If people aren't watching it, you have to watch Project Greenlight. It's amazing. This is the Matt Damon and Ben Affleck show where they hire somebody, they put people through kind of a reality show contest, and they pick someone to direct a movie for HBO with like a $3 million budget. And they pick the craziest, most like weird, demanding, self-serving, like head up his ass, fart-sniffing, snobbo guy to make this what was supposed to be a broad, like fucking Farrelly Brothers comedy. And he eventually sold them on his own script. He's like really like forcing them to let him shoot on film, like immediately try to fire the writer. Like it's amazing. That show is incredible. You'll see the struggles of this poor producer lady who is just, her world is just coming apart every week. It is an amazing movie. It's an amazing show. I totally love it. That would be great. That would be like a Shirobako type experience for people to learn even more about the how animation exactly is made.
No, it would be interesting. It's probably, I wonder if the, you know, it's one of those things where is the budget there or whatnot too.
Bubby asks, do you guys like any Shonen Jump stuff? Yeah, of course. Of course. Everyone likes that stuff. You're supposed to. That's why, like, it's perfectly engineered so that as many people as possible will like it. But I like One Piece a lot. I like One Punch Man, obviously. I liked, Yu Yu Hakusho. Naruto was really good for a while. I just never picked it back up again. So a lot of that stuff is good. It's the gold standard, right?
Yeah, it's short. Go read Jacko the Space Patrolman. It's Toriyama doing a new comic.
Yeah, I have that. I have that.
I like it. It's really fun. It's really light. It's his kind of humor. So if you like the early Dragon Ball kind of stuff.
Yeah, Hunter x Hunter is good too. Like, I think maybe we have like a reputation for not loving Shonen Jump stuff, but I feel like we're not like super hard on it or anything. I don't know. Whatever, man. You can't control it.
Well, I know you love One Piece, though. Like, you love One Piece.
I do love One Piece. The show is great. I'm not watching it. I can't keep up with it. But it's One Piece is fantastic.
What's that entry level to get into those shows after, like, late is what's kept me out of a lot of them. It's not like a dislike for the subject matter. It's just that I didn't watch One Piece when it started, and now it's at past episode 700, and I don't have time.
You don't have to break that, crack that.
Yeah, you either have to get in right when it starts, or I don't know, learn about it from other people telling you, because we've got guides on the site basically about how do I start watching Gintama? How do I start watching One Piece? And it's just, wow.
That's one reason I'm glad they're not like mowing through JoJo's Bizarre Adventure at a super fast pace, because that has the potential to be a super long show.
And I have, I am behind on that. It's still sitting in my queue. I got to the part where Polnareff got shrunk into a baby, and they spent like 10 minutes of him like ogling this woman's boobs while she bathed him or something. And I was like, I'm going to come back later. And then I just didn't, but I've been meaning to.
Yeah, that you're exactly right in that it is totally the time commitment thing that keeps me from watching more of that stuff. That's one of the reasons that I'm going to watch One Punch Man, is just so I can be there from the very beginning and not, if they do like a ton of it, then great, and I can just watch that. But next, like when one of those starts, like, whatever the successor to Naruto is going to be, I will probably start watching it, and if it captures my attention at all, I'll just keep watching it. Because if you get in at the beginning, you're set. So long as you keep up with it, you're set.
I mean, there has to be... They have to replace it with something. I mean, it's kind of fun trying to figure out what it's going to be. I feel like that's the point that I'm at right now. Every time I see stuff come up for new season, I was like, is World Trigger going to be it? World Trigger's not it. But, I mean, it's been fun trying to guess. Bleach has been off the air for a long time now, right? I feel like that's...
Yeah.
I watched the first 40-ish episodes of that. I did see Bleach, and I did like it, and I got behind and never caught back up. But the manga's still running, though, isn't it?
Yes. I think that
got canceled.
No, Bleach is over. Bleach is done.
Bleach is over?
Yeah,
I don't think the manga's over.
Is the manga still going?
I thought the anime ended because it was just the ratings weren't there, right?
The Bleach is still running. It's not over yet.
Okay.
Naruto ended. Bleach is still going. Somehow. Bleach is still going.
It's kind of a reverse situation. The Bleach manga is still going, but the anime got canceled, whereas the Naruto anime is still going, but the manga's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta sell those Bleach hats. The Bleach bucket hat. That was everywhere in, like, 2005.
Yeah, it was that one, there was the one character that wore it, had, like, the green and yellow stripes on it. It was, yeah.
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 Fairy Tail is like its own thing. People love it. To me, it just looks too much like a One Piece ripoff. I know you're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to dismiss it like that, but I can't see it any other way. And whatever. It's just, it's One Piece, except they're mages. I can't see it any other way. I'm sure that the show has its qualities. I'm sure people absolutely love it. I'm sure that it has all the same qualities as a lot of this other Shonen Jump stuff. I just can't look at it and not think, if I'm going to watch a show like this, I'll watch One Piece.
Isn't Seven Deadly Sins is another one where it's sort of like, that one hasn't made it over here for some weird reason, but it just got re-upped for another season too. I don't know if it runs in Jump. It might run in a different Shonen magazine though.
Yeah. Well, anyway, anime that you thought was really great. Sorry, Grooven asks, anime that you thought was really great and then tanked near the end from recent memory. Really great and then tanked at the end. I feel like there was a recent example of this that I'm having trouble remembering.
I feel like this is common, especially if it's a romantic comedy.
I mean, Terror in Resonance was already falling apart, and then the ending made me hate it even more.
I don't remember the ending. I just remember that I liked that show, but I can't defend it because I don't remember anything about it.
Right.
Maybe that says it all, really.
Parasite was a big one. Parasite, yeah. Like, totally shits the bed. I just, like, the ending of that, nobody seemed to like it very much. It was, like, this big letdown.
I haven't finished that either. I got to the part where, I don't know, he was running on the freeway with some dude chasing him. That's vague. But I heard, the same thing. And it kind of stopped. I didn't bother to go back to it after I heard that the ending was bad.
Yeah.
I want to believe in Gangsta. I haven't watched the last, like, two episodes of that. I want to believe in Gangsta, but...
I was pretty sure that was going to get a sequel. I guess now it's not. It's kind of up in the air.
Not unless it goes to a completely different studio, because the...
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah.
Manglobe is bankrupt. Poor Manglobe. I feel bad for them, but their animation kind of stunk. So, you know, I mean, I hope all those guys find work. But I thought their work on Gangsta was bad. I know I'm kind of in a minority on that one, but I thought it was really mushy and sloppy looking. I thought it was bad.
The show, the only other show I associate with them is the one with the chick with the eyeliner. What is that?
I don't know, but Samurai Champloo is the one most people know him for.
Oh, no, I'm thinking, what's that goth-looking one?
Are you thinking,
Ergo Proxy, that's
Ergo
it.
Ergo Proxy, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, chat.
Yeah.
Did they do Witch Hunter Robin, too, or no?
The Evanescence main character.
Yeah.
What did you say, Witch Hunter Robin?
Oh, did they do Witch Hunter Robin, too, or no? Is that Gonzo, or?
Witch Hunter Robin was Sunrise.
Was it Sunrise? Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty sure. Okay, let's see here. Question, would you watch a show for its composer or character designer alone, even if you're not interested in the rest of it? I would not. I'm not going to watch 13 episodes of something just to stare at the character designs or hear the music. I'll look at the character designs and listen to the music. But if the show is literally completely uninteresting for me, I will feel like I'm wasting my life.
If I know... Oh, go ahead, Brady.
I was going to say, if it has, you know, neat character designs, I'll check it out. But then if there's not something that keeps me there, like something like that could draw me to it, but it won't keep me watching it.
Yeah. I'll watch the first episode. But if it doesn't grab me, I'm not going to watch it. Yeah. It doesn't, like, okay. I think this kind of line of questioning is saying, like, is it okay to do that? Of course it is. Like, I think people like to say, like, is it okay if I like the show just for this? Because they think that because we're criticizing stuff, that means we're putting conditions on how you're supposed to like this show. That is not the purpose of criticism, and it is not what any critic that I've ever known, and certainly no critic worth his salt, would ever suggest, that his criticism is the only way you're supposed to like something. If you watch an entire, like, 40-episode series because you like the way one of the girls looks, more power to you. That's fine. It's your free time. Do what you want. Enjoy what you want for the reasons that you want. You don't owe anyone anything. Criticism is supposed to be a discussion. It's supposed to be a back and forth. And no one dictating anything. I feel like that's kind of where this line of questioning was going. And it's totally fine if you watch whatever you want for whatever reason you want. Like, none of it makes you bad or shallow. And the point of criticism is a conversation. I'm just floating that out there.
I mean, there's the other thing, too, where it's like, criticism, if you don't agree with somebody, that doesn't mean you're supposed to hate that person. Like, agree to disagree. Yeah, I mean, like, that people seem to... They seem to think that if you don't agree with somebody, that, oh, that person's the enemy in criticism, which does not make sense to me.
No. Like, if you disagree with that person, either engage them directly or discuss their opinion, you know, wherever you want or however you want. It's fine. Treating them like they're the enemy and they need to be destroyed or fired or they have to be silenced, that's so bizarre to me. Like,
yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah, like whatever you want, when you want, and critics are there to have a conversation with and to react to what they said and see if it lines up with what you said or to start a conversation. So, anyway, like what you want, when you want, for however you want. Okay, let's see here. Rogue Spooks asks, is your favorite game of the year still Witcher 3, or is something else taking its place? No, that's still my favorite game of the year. Mario Maker is probably a very close second, but obviously for very different reasons. Witcher 3, I think, is one of my new favorite all time, like in the top 5 of video games that I've ever played. I loved it. Brady, have you had a recent, like, favorite all time?
Game?
Yeah.
I have to say, I got to play about the first 5 missions of Metal Gear Solid 5, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, this game is really good.
That is super. That's a game so good. And for a game that is obviously not finished, it's so good. Like, it blows my mind how it's so polished, yet you know it's not done, but still it's so good. Mario Maker, I play a little bit of Mario Maker. I've been enjoying it. Some of the troll levels are really funny. I think like Nintendo really hit it on the head with that game.
Yeah, it's basically perfect. There's some little things that could be improved, but I don't see how it really could have been any that much better than it is. It's so good.
Oh, it does so much. Like, it has so many options and many things. Like, I'm amazed it is as coherent as it is. But then again, that's that Nintendo polish that a lot of companies don't have.
Yeah. Lindsay, I don't know if you play a lot of games.
I used to play quite a lot of games. I haven't really played anything that's, like, recent, new in quite a while. My son started playing video games, and so most of what I play is with him. So we've been playing, we're very close to 100% completion on Lego Marvel Super Heroes, and... So we play a lot of Lego games in this house, or we play a lot of Minecraft, but I haven't really...
A kid that likes Minecraft?
What? Oh, man.
What?
That's...
Yeah. Yeah.
Is your kid trying to get that Lego Dimensions thing going?
He doesn't know about that. we don't have cable TV specifically for this sort of reason. We have streaming instead, like Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that, so that he doesn't see a lot of commercials. So Eric doesn't know about Lego Dimensions. I'm aware of it. I remember someone telling me that if you wanted to have all of everything, it'd cost you like $500.
Yep.
So yeah. I don't need that for the Christmas season. as a mom. I don't.
That Toys to Life stuff, man, that'll kill you. Like, if you've got a kid that really wants it, I feel bad for parents who have kids who, like, really want every Skylanders.
Skylanders are Disney kids, the thing now.
He's turning six this year, and he gets those, what are they called? Nerd Block Junior boxes that come in the mail, and they've got, you know, like, various franchise stuff, geek toys, whatever. There's a grown-up version, too, that'll probably send you, like, Mario t-shirts and
right.
You mean like Loot Crate?
Yeah, it's like a loot crate. He did get a Skylanders figure in it. It is sitting on his dresser in his room. He has not asked me to set it up for him yet. So, yeah, I'm just trying to stave that off as long as possible. He already knows way too much about Minecraft for his age anyway. I don't need him moving on to another thing where I have to pay a bunch of money every time for him to keep playing. So,
yeah. Well, you said for a while you were talking that he was really getting into Sonic the Hedgehog.
He still loves Sonic the Hedgehog.
Brady, see? Brady? Kindred spirits.
My brother gave him his old Game Boy Advance. So he's got one of the Sonic Adventure games in there, the one that's got when they first introduced Cream, the bunny, and Cheese, the chow. So he's played...
Advance 2 or 3, I forget.
Yeah, he's played that a little bit. I have a Nintendo 3DS. And so watching him play that one, it was both like nostalgic, but... Those handhelds didn't used to be backlit, and I forgot.
You should be going blind trying to play it.
Yeah, I had forgotten like how awful it was not to have a backlit.
Oh, you got to get the
gaming device. Like you can't play that in bed. You can't even play it if it's like cloudy outside and you don't have great lighting in your room. Like they suck.
You got to get the warm light so you can play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater Advance.
The thing that clipped onto it and like went around and. Yeah. That was supposed to be for like old ladies reading books, but they made one for your handheld devices. Yeah, so he plays that and the Lego games, and we have a Dreamcast at my parents' house. So when he goes over to his grandma and grandpa's, he plays Sonic Adventure 2 over there on our old Dreamcast. So
you gonna bust out Shenmue?
Oh yeah,
get not waiting for the new one. No.
Well, no, but see, if he plays Shenmue, he can control the guy who goes up to a toy machine and buys Sonic the Hedgehog Gashapon. So he'll be thrilled.
I played it. I didn't know.
He'll be thrilled.
He can play old Master System games and do his job as a forklift driver and look for the Manmo Temple.
Then he can play Sword of the Berserk, Guts Rage, and Blue Stinger, and let's just sit here and list Dreamcast games.
Hey, we already mentioned Power Stone earlier, and...
It's a Dreamcast kind of podcast. Well, that's fun. Somebody mentioned Amiibos. I do have, like, too many of those. I just today got, like, the last one that I want. I don't think they're going to make any more that I even would want. That's famous last words.
I was about to say, like, that. You said that before.
I've said that before, but then they made Rob, who I really wanted. I had to have it. Because they don't make, like, a little figure of that. You can't just get a little figure.
No, you have to like, have like you got to spend $1 million for Rob, or that's it.
Yeah, and I just
Wait,
wanted like
who
a little
Rob?
Version. Like I just Rob is the Nintendo robot, you know, that came with like Gyromite. And I really wanted one just for my desk, and so that was perfect. Thank God, like it's not rare or scarce or anything. You can just walk into a GameStop and buy the 3-pack that has Rob the robot, the Duck Hunt dog, and Mr. Game & Watch in it. Like you can just walk into a GameStop and get that. They're not like rare. Yeah. So, but that's it. Like, I swear I'm finished with Amiibos now.
Famous last words. Well, that's the thing, though. It's like, it sounds like you're just buying the ones you like the characters you like, and not like, I have to obsess to buy all of these.
Oh, yeah. Well, for me, the only ones that I personally actually own, the rest are hopes. And I do make this distinction. The only two that I own personally are Rob and Toad. The rest were purchased for Hope. So it's Zelda characters and Kirby and, yeah, and Fire Emblem guys.
Lucina.
Yeah, no. Not Lucina. Just Ike, I think.
Yeah.
Just Ike. Fans of her stream will recognize why she wanted Ike. But let's see here. Do we have another question? I think we're kind of closing in here on the finale, but if we have another couple questions, we can take a few. Let's see. Poop wants to know what the worst movie of 2015 is. That is a tough question because I have seen a lot of crap this year.
I've avoided the things you said were awful.
Yeah, I really only bother to go to the theater if there's something real specific I want to see.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. So far, Stonewall. Has to be Stonewall.
Is that a TV movie or was that a movie?
That is a Roland Emmerich version of the Stonewall riots that was released into like...
Oh, right. Oh, the whitewashed theaters. One.
Yeah, that one's offensive on a number of levels. I would have to say that other than that, it's probably Mordecai or Strange Magic. More than likely Strange Magic, I would say.
Oh, Strange Magic, yeah.
Yeah, really bad. Really, really bad. I just saw Pixels last night as a contender, and that movie's mostly just boring. It's mostly just really dull and stupid.
It didn't really seem like over-the-top Sandler.
No, it's like they're bored with it, and they're like, fuck this, we're just going to make a kid's movie, who cares? And so no one in that movie gives a shit at any point. It is just lazy phoning it in the entire fucking time. And that's depressing to watch because you can tell it comes out in the performances, it comes out in the script, it comes out everywhere. That's an incredibly lazy movie. Extreme wasted potential.
It sucks because like the idea of that movie is so neat. It's such a cool idea.
It is. It's a cool idea. And they did absolutely the worst possible. Like, I'm not sure how it could have been worse. Like, I would say, like, unless they were constantly like humiliating those beloved characters, but they were. So, like, this is a movie that doesn't give a shit so much about actual, like, arcade lore or, like, people who played those games or any of that stuff, that the big plot twist in Pixels is that one of the guys has cheat codes for Pac-Man and Donkey Kong. Those don't exist.
Yeah.
So, you can't get that wrong and then expect us to think that this is anything other than just a cynical attempt at 80s nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't care even enough to get that fucking thing right.
Well, I mean, I think we're in an age where, like, stuff like that, it has to be, like, I don't want to say accurate, but, like, something that, like, oh, like, somebody smart will know what you're doing. Like, if something like that actually existed.
Yeah, it's just, you can tell that they were in the room, and they were probably, like, writing this out in, like, a weekend, or however long it took them to finalize the script. And they're like, okay, so, what's this guy doing? Well, he has cheat codes. Okay, well, these games don't have cheat codes. Oh, yeah, well, aliens don't exist either. Like, I guarantee you that was their reasoning for it.
Instead of actually trying to think about it to make it smarter.
Yeah, instead of trying to think about it, it was just like, fuck it, who cares? The whole movie's fucking who cares. It's just no one gave a shit. You know, I mean, the other, you know, right under that's probably Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, which was, well, that was worse than Pixels. That was worse than Pixels. I watch a lot of garbage.
I'm aware.
Yeah, you know. You watch a lot of it with me. Okay, do we have any other questions? Can we end with an anime one? That'd be great.
It has to be all about Paul Blart.
Yeah, I brought up Paul Blart.
You had to blart that out.
We'll take these two. Jesse B says, a few people have been asking you, how do you feel about the right-wing trend in current anime? I mean, it's kind of inevitable, right? Like, Japan is becoming somewhat more right-wing over the years.
It is I would say that it's a direct reflection of the current political status with Abe's administration over there. I'm not an expert on Japanese politics, but I do get to write about it for interest every once in a while when it crosses over with things, especially the security bill and TPP and stuff. I would say that it's a push for more nationalistic rewrite, and that it's, I mean, I would say that opinion is in some ways mainstream. I don't want to go too far and say like the majority of Japan agree with it, because there have been very, very large protests against the security bill, and people are very concerned about it, and it's not polling favorably. It didn't poll favorably with the populace, but they were able to pass it anyway because politics, it didn't go to vote. But yeah, there's definitely, that sentiment is definitely there, and leaks into otaku circles too.
Yeah. Well, I recommend that people watch the Kingdom of Dreams and Madness, because it talks directly about how much influence right-wing groups have in Japan right now, and it directly influenced the ending of The Wind Rises. Like, he changed the ending of that movie in order to avoid a giant shitstorm from the right wing. It still gets his idea across, but it's not the same ending. And that's all chronicled in that movie. So if you want an idea of how powerful that lobby is, and what it means is, like, it doesn't mean the entire country feels that way. That's like saying the way Republicans feel is the way all of America is, which is, of course, not true. I don't like talking about this stuff too much because I'm not an expert, and people will absolutely call you on it if you don't know what you're talking about. But I think seeing it in anime, like in the occasional anime, it's just a reflection of the current culture in Japan. It's just, that stuff is on the rise right now, for sure.
Is Kingdom of Dreams and Madness on Netflix, I think?
It is on Netflix, yes. And it's invaluable if you want insight into that world, into the world of Ghibli. I think you can't watch, if you're going to watch The Wind Rises, you have to watch that with it. I think it's that important.
Isn't that the documentary too, where the Miyazaki pool quote of him saying anime is a mistake comes from?
Yeah. My favorite is when his assistant asks him, so why doesn't Gigi talk at the end? Did he lose his ability to talk at the end of Kiki's Delivery Service? And he's like, well, what do you want him to do? Run, like, he never shuts up? No one wants a cat that never shuts. Like, there's no mystery or, like, magic to it. He can still talk at the end of the movie. Miyazaki was just like, he needed to shut up. it was kind of amazing. I love that. It's such a good documentary. Maybe one of the best ones I've ever seen about a studio in action. And it's so raw. It's like right there. Let's see. Speaking of which, Nance Fan asks, people always talk about the next Miyazaki. Do you think any anime director will ever be so respected in the West again? So Miyazaki's career is unique to him. He is one of the very few international artists that have gained his kind of status in the West. It's a singular man. I don't think it's reasonable to expect that there will be a replacement for him, just like there won't be a replacement for Steven Spielberg.
Walt Disney. Like, that's the sexy thing. Is there another going to be another Walt Disney? Like,
yeah, no, there probably won't be another tyrannical god artist. like Walt Disney.
That's a new show.
I just watched that American Experience Walt Disney thing, which was great. That was really
amazing,
good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. But that Walt Disney was a tortured artist, and he was kind of an asshole.
No.
that's fine. That's who artists frequently are, especially like really driven artists. But I don't think it's safe. I don't think it's safe to say, like, well, this guy's the next Miyazaki. That's singular. I think it's kind of irresponsible to say that. Like, you might have someone who steps into that role over time, but we haven't seen who that person is yet. I don't know. What do you guys think? Lindsay, what do you think about this?
I don't think it's not that I think there can never be another great anime director. It's just
That's not what I'm saying.
Right. But it's just that the circumstances that created Miyazaki's career, like you were saying, are so singular to him. His vision, his way of doing things. He is one of the last to really animate by hand still. Like, that has completely been phased out in most studios. So whoever we get next, they won't be like him in that way. Like, what he represents and what he did is particular to his place and time in history, and whatever we get next will be, it'll just be something else. I mean, they'll create their own great things, but I also don't think we'll know who it is until there's been enough time passed for them to create a body of work so you can look at it and say that they're that great too. And I feel like that'll be 15 years at least. I don't know, which makes me feel old.
Well, it's like, I mean, there are directors like Brad Bird who I really respect and, you know, I'm interested in their stuff. But at the same time, like, saying that that person is the next Miyazaki or Walt Disney or whatever is, like, disrespectful to both those people and the person himself. Like, who is remembered is who's actually remembered. So they have to actually do the thing first, you know? Like, it's only in retrospect do you know. Who is that kind of director or person in the world?
I feel really bad for Goro, too. Just that, like, I feel like he wants to break out and do his own things. And he did Earthsea, and then he did Up on Poppy Hill, and then he's done Ronya, the Thief's Daughter. I think I'm messing that up.
So here's the thing. If you haven't seen that documentary, it goes into Goro a lot. He wasn't going to be a film director. He was sort of drafted into it, but he has a strong desire to keep Studio Ghibli alive. He wants all those people to keep working. Because Ghibli's one of the few people that has a full-time staff that only works there, and they work 365 days a year. Most anime studios hire out, and they outsource everything. Not like to Korea, but they hire like multiple studios and freelancers to put together a show. Ghibli has everyone in one building, and they're Ghibli employees. And that is rare for anime. And Goro's whole thing in that documentary is, I need to keep this studio together. I want these people to have jobs. I want them to have pensions. I want them to have maternity leave and all that stuff. So I'm going to make stuff because it might keep the studio open. It's interesting.
Didn't he want to do the museum more so, and then kind of...
Yes, and then wound up getting kind of drafted into making films, specifically also because, you know, they had kind of a brain drain a little bit. There was just no apparent heir. So they're like, okay, well, let's get Miyazaki's son. He's the obvious heir. So, yeah, it's really interesting. Man, talking about that documentary a lot, but it's super good. I don't know. Go ahead.
It feels extra sad just in that because it didn't end up working that way either. I mean, as far as I can tell, Ghibli it's more or less dead. I mean, they moved all their furniture out and sold it off to another animation studio. The Ronya's daughter, Goro made that with Polygon Pictures, so he didn't make that at Ghibli either.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's Ghibli is might fade into history with Miyazaki because he's hanging on to his legacy so hard. I don't buy for a second that Miyazaki aggressively trained anyone to be his successor. I never got that impression from him. It's like he doesn't seem like the kind of person who would put the time and effort in to really grow new talent and let them grow in their own way without him micromanaging every last little thing.
The other director who was coming out of there, the guy who did the one that's based on the little people who live in the walls, he left too.
Yeah,
if I remember right.
Yeah, the director of Arrietty,
the Wanderer.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, The Borrowers is the book.
We'll see. I don't know. I hope Ghibli stays alive. I hope that, you know, they have another 10, 20 years left in them or whatever. But yeah. I mean, Miyazaki retiring, he's taking it with him. I guess is. What are you going to do? It's his.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that wraps us up. It was a delight to have the two of you on. Lindsay, thanks so much. We won't make it so long in between visits next time.
Oh, yay.
And Brady, as always, thanks for hanging out.
Well, thanks for having me. Of course, every time.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Brady and Lindsay for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. And I'll see you all next week.